The following talk was given by Steve Hagen at Dharma Field Meditation and Learning Center in Minneapolis on July 25, 2010. This talk may not be played or reproduced for profit.
Good morning. It's good to see you all. Well, today I thought I'd talk on a quote that we had on our website a couple weeks ago by my teacher, Jikai Dainin, or Katagiri Roshi. It's an interesting quote, and as soon as I read it, I just felt like I wanted to talk on this. And then just a couple days ago, another quote by Katagiri popped up, and I think I'll say something about that too. It kind of relates to this first one. So let me just read this. It's Katagiri Roshi. He said, "The point of the spiritual life is to realize truth. But you will never understand the spiritual life or realize truth if you measure it by your own yardstick. The point of the spiritual life is to realize truth. But you will never understand the spiritual life or realize truth if you measure it by your own yardstick." Okay, well, the point of the spiritual life, I wasn't too keen on using that word, spiritual life, though that is the word that Katagiri Roshi used. Of course, Katagiri Roshi doesn't always appreciate all the connotations that go along with a particular word, but still, he's conveying something here that I think is very, very valuable and very important for us to understand. But just to clarify here a little bit, the spiritual life, I mean, sometimes we can think we're talking about what? Well, spirits or the human soul, the life of the soul or something like that. And that's really not what he's getting at here. That's not the understanding behind this. But the spiritual life, or we could say perhaps the religious life, the point of the religious life is to realize truth. Maybe even that's too much, because for some of us, we have kind of a bad taste in our mouth about this, with this word, religion. We don't like it. We don't like to use it. Many people feel like, well, Buddhism, yeah, I like Buddhism, but Buddhism is not a religion. You know, don't call it a religion. Don't make it that. Buddhism is kind of a philosophy or something like that. Yeah, so there's some bad feeling about that term as well. So what are we talking about when we bring this up? Can we get rid of these terms? Point of the spiritual life, can we say the point of life is to realize truth? But then we can ask, well, is there a point to life? Does life have a point? So I was thinking maybe I could use the title "The Point of Human Life," because here we are as human beings. We're the ones who make a point. I mean, does life itself, reality itself, truth itself, is there a point to that? But as human beings, we supply meaning. We will make a point there. We will see a point. And after establishing something like that, and then we start to look for it. But I think the point that Katagiri Roshi is making here, when he says that the point of the spiritual life is to realize truth, this is really getting down to what it means to be human. This big problem that we have, because we are human beings, because we have this ability to look at our lives, to reflect on life, to ask, what's it all about? And we are aware of our mortality, that things come and go, and I'm one of those things that seems to come and go, and so I will go someday. And then what? So it seems to me that what he's saying is that the point of this deeply human matter here is, you know, that we need to concern ourselves with, is to realize truth. This is the deep need in the heart, the deep ache in the human heart and mind. To settle the mind, to quiet the mind. We just want to know. We might think that, there isn't any point to any of this, and so I just want to be happy. Yeah. But how happy can you be? If, because you have a human mind, the backdrop of that mind is that there's this big question out there. Yeah, what is this all about anyway? Of course, we can gloss that over and we can occupy ourselves with many things and even take up the spiritual life in a way that just distracts us, keeps us occupied, busy. We can do this with any number of things. Basically, just kind of holding that off. We don't want to look at that because maybe we have a sense that this is so big, you know, so deep, that I, as a human being, I'll never understand this. Or we can form an idea, a belief that will answer it for us, and then I will hang on to that. I will cling to that. You know, this is what I need to believe. This is the religion I will follow. This is something like that. This will be the answer for me. And so we come to a religious practice, a spiritual practice, with ideas like that. But Karagiri Roshi said that the point of the spiritual life is to realize truth. And as long as we carry on in that way, this is not to realize truth. He goes on to say that, but you will never understand the spiritual life or realize truth if you measure it by your own yardstick. You will never understand truth. He's talking about truth with a capital T, not truth according to you or truth according to the Buddha or truth according to somebody else, to some other religion or philosophy or whatever. Truth itself, reality itself, you will not understand this, he says. You will not understand this point of the spiritual life. This deep need in the human heart and mind to know, to realize, to understand, to wake up. You will never realize this, he said, if you measure it by your own yardstick. Or as Norm pointed out, the term he would often use would be stick yard, but we learned to interpret that by switching those words around. But measuring things according to, sometimes you'd say, by looking through your own telescope, you know, you see your own narrow little view, your own little take on the world. And he would tell us things like this repeatedly, over and over again, various ways. That you have to set that down. You have to at least recognize when you're doing that. Well, what is it that you're doing? Well, you're grasping something and you're making it your own understanding, your own ideas, your own beliefs and opinions, your own truth. You're holding on to something like that. Of course, we might feel like, well, yeah, I mean, what else can I do? You know, of course, there's me here and I, what else can I do? I remember a number of times I've heard this particular, I guess maybe when I was in college, but elsewhere, people getting into psychology, studying psychology, and I was told that if you want to understand psychology, the best way to go is just relate everything to yourself. Well, maybe that works pretty well for psychological theories and things like this. That might work, you know, quite well. But if we're interested in this matter of truth, and perhaps we ought to be, because if we have some difficulty with life, if we're suffering in some particular way, beneath it all, there's just this deep question, this deep need in the heart. There's something unsettled there. It is only truth, actual truth, waking up to that, realizing that can possibly settle that. Because anything else, at best, it's just a kind of a soporific or a, you know, some kind of a medicinal drug, whatever, something that to just gloss it over. The problem is still there. Maybe you can find something that temporarily takes care of the symptoms or something, but it's only temporary. Now, the only way for us to resolve this deep need in the human heart is actually to wake up. Okay, this is what Katagiri is talking about, and he says, and if you want to do this, if you want to realize truth or realize this point of the spiritual life, he says, you cannot do it by measuring it with your own yardstick, by comparing it to yourself. This is why we find teachings like Dogen saying that to study the way, to study this way of enlightenment, of realization, is to study the self, to study the self is to forget the self. And that's the part that we forget. Yeah, we occupy ourselves with the self, and of course we think that that self, that maybe we think that that's what Dogen is speaking of, is just this little self here, this ego self. To study the way is to study the self. Okay, well then I will study me, the self. But he's not saying that. To study the self, the true self, truly what is going on here and what you are, which is really nothing in particular, but it is reality. But to study that, to study the way, is to forget the self, to forget this little ego self. Well, can we forget it? Well, at least don't keep measuring everything according to that. It's not that we have to say that this is bad or wrong. It's perfectly normal for us to do this. But at some point, if we really want to get down to the real thing here, you have to realize that as long as you continue to hold to that, you're not going to find it. And that is the problem that blocks us all, that makes it very difficult for us. We find it very difficult to get past this little self here, always comparing, measuring everything according to this. But why would this be the case? As long as we measure everything according to our own yardstick, why is it that we can't find the truth this way? We can't wake up to it. We can't realize it. Okay, well, it isn't because it's evil or bad or wrong or you're no good for doing this. Just set all of that aside. There's a very simple reason why that doesn't work, and that happened to appear just a couple days ago on our website again. Another quote by Katagiri Roshi. This is why he says, you won't realize the truth if you measure it by your own yardstick. And I doubt that this quote now came from the same talk. It doesn't matter, because it's a point that needs to be repeated. And so odds are this came from somewhere else. I don't know. Anyway, he says, but if you want to realize the truth with a capital T, you can't do this if you measure it by your own yardstick. Why? Well, then here's another quote. He says that truth is not an idea. This truth, this capital T truth, reality itself, is not an idea. He says, we must see it directly. Truth is not an idea. We must see it directly. If we see truth according to some idea, then it is not truth. All discussion and thought is secondary. It occurs only after the true moment has melted away. Okay, so truth then, if we want to awaken to truth, it is not an idea. Well, what is it that you're holding? When you're measuring something by your yardstick, it is something conceptualized. It is something holding unto itself, or it has its own identity, something separate and apart from you. And now you're going to measure that, take hold of it, perhaps identify with it. See yourself in relation to that. This is the conceptual. This is the graspable, of course. And that's where we want to go, because we want to grasp. It makes us feel, temporarily at least, to get hold of something, an idea here or whatever. Momentarily, we're wrapped up in that little, you know, that the world of that relationship now that we have with this thing. Maybe we've just recently grasped it or whatever. We're very comfortable with that. Maybe we're not comfortable with it, too. That goes that way as well. But we feel like maybe we're getting hold of something here that gives us some kind of a settledness and stability in our life, that, and that maybe in some ways bringing us closer to understanding, to realizing what our problem is and realizing the answer to that. But all of this, we don't understand. All of this is delusional. It's just right from the very start. And you will not realize the truth by measuring it with your own yardstick, or with any yardstick, really. Because as he says here, the truth is not an idea, it's not a concept. It's not a graspable, it is not a thing, it is not something set apart from other things. And it's certainly not something set apart from you. You meaning the true self. Not you, the you that Dogen recommends that we forget. The truth, the reality is immediate. It is right here. It is in plain view. Not hidden in any way whatsoever. But we're constantly thinking, calculating, grasping. We're wrapped up in the conceptual and the intellectual. And as long as we remain involved with that, which might be fine and useful in so many aspects of our life, there's nothing wrong with that. It's just that this matter of this deep need in the heart to wake up to the truth, we're not going to find it this way. Because as Katagiri Roshi says here, the truth is not an idea. We must see it directly. And what he means by seeing it directly is not thinking about it, not getting an idea about the truth or about enlightenment or emptiness, all these words that we use here. It's not getting the idea of this. Nagarjuna warns us, he spends so much time helping us to realize and to see the non-substantiality of whatever it is that we might take hold of. Anything at all. Even physical substantiality. It's non-substantial. We don't find anything. The word then that he uses is empty. That these formed things, whether conceptual or physical, emotional, whatever, but they are all empty. Empty of any selfhood, own being, is the term he uses. We can't get hold of this, of these things, and but by doing so, by at least thinking that we are, that we're grasping this or grasping that, we're left caught in delusion. But then when Nagarjuna uses a term like that, emptiness, that all things are emptiness. And it's not that things have emptiness or possess emptiness. Whatever you name or point out is emptiness itself, as it says in the Heart Sutra. Form, meaning physical form of any kind, you referring to the material aspect of our experience here, form is emptiness. It isn't like you take some particular form like this cup here and you say that this cup is empty. Form is emptiness. It is emptiness itself. But this is not something that can be grasp or take hold, because once again that becomes the conceptual or the graspable. And if we relate everything to that, well, of course, no, that's in relation to you as well, isn't it? Because as soon as something is formed out there, well, here's the self here, viewing it or thinking about it or whatever. There we are, we're back to the conceptual, the graspable, the intellectual. We might think about this and work with this and try to figure out what all of this is pointing to or discussing so that we can maybe arrange some kind of idea or explanation or concept in our mind that will explain this to us, and so somehow we're going to find enlightenment through this or truth or reality. No. This is endlessly our problem until we wake up to the fact that whatever it is that you grasp, whatever is formed there as an idea or a thing or whatever, is empty of self, that you can never get hold of the truth or reality of that thing. We must realize, he says that, Katagiri says here, that truth is not an idea. It is not a formed thing. It is not a conceptualized thing. And he said, we must see this directly. Because this is the only way we can see this. You cannot see this by yet again forming another idea about this. Nagarjuna also points out that then there's people who attach to this word emptiness or empty, thinking that emptiness then is something or some explanation here. And Nagarjuna calls these people incorrigible. There's really nothing we could do for these folks because they don't quite yet see that. Once again, we're just grasping, reaching for something, trying to hold on to something. We have to, at some point, we have to understand that what this way is about, this gray way that Dogen speaks of, that Sensong speaks of, and the Xinqing Ming, is not something formed like that. It is not something that can be grasped. It is not something that can be collected and taken in as an idea. What are we speaking of here is truth, reality. You cannot measure it with your own yardstick. You don't need to, because it can be seen and known directly. Reality, truth. The other thing you should bear in mind when you find yourself feeling like this is just too much, you should realize that you already know this. I mean that. I'm not trying to make you feel better or anything else. I mean that you already know truth. And I mean know with a capital K and truth with a capital T. This is why we also say in a message that Katagiri also had was, you are Buddha. Right now. You just have to realize that. That's your problem. And why don't you realize it? Because you're distracted. You're caught up in thinking and grasping, holding to different things. You should realize that right now you already see and know truth directly. The only thing that's keeping us from realizing that is that we keep thinking and, you know, sorting through our thoughts and our concepts. Whether we're intellectual or not, that's what we do. We hold to ideas. We got ideas, notions, beliefs about one thing or another. And we're constantly sorting through those, occupying ourselves with that, all the while ignoring, this is our ignorance, we ignore what is actually taking place and what it is that we already do know right now, deeply in our own heart and mind. You know this. If you're quiet enough, you can also tell, because you have that knowledge, you can tell when you're kidding yourself. You know, you're reaching, you're grasping. You can watch, you can notice that when your heart and mind are leaning toward one thing or another. The ego's getting involved. You want to, you know, steer things your way, or maybe you're feeling a little bit burned or disturbed. Things aren't quite going your way. Whatever. You should become sensitive to that and to realize that and to notice that and to understand where that's coming from. That is just ego. That is just holding to self. The desire that comes along with it to then grasp something to somehow, I don't know, bolster this self, to save it, to please it and protect it. All the while we do that, we are ignoring the actual liberation, the actual seeing and realizing of reality that is already ours. So Katagiri says that truth is not an idea. We must see it directly, he says. Which we do, but stop the clutter. Dogen says to forget the self. I mentioned Sensong there in the opening of the Xinqing Ming. He says the great way is not difficult, this way of truth, enlightenment, reality, awakeness. It's not difficult. It has no preferences. So you carry on in just the same way as the great way itself, as a Buddha. Not giving way to your preferences or to your likes and dislikes and your ideas of what will support you and confirm you and all of this. You can forget this. You're not going to dissolve or disappear. You think, well, but I want to be happy. But you're not going to be happy by hanging on to any of that. If there's any kind of happiness at all, it will be found when you let go of that. You'll find a much more peaceful life, quieter life, a settled life, and a life now where maybe some true understanding can begin to seep in. And we're going to live out of awakeness. Yeah, but you can only do this by, well, setting this aside. And it's not even so much a matter of setting aside, like through some deliberate plan of your own or intention of your own to set this aside. What you have to start doing is recognizing that you're hanging on to these things. And start seeing that for what it is. And when you realize the pain, the confusion, the suffering that comes with that, and the endlessness of it all, and that there's never going to be any resolve within that, when you actually start to see that, you will let it go. Why would you ever hang on to such a thing as that? Oh, we take up these things momentarily here and there because it's necessary to do this or that. But when it comes to this matter of really understanding what your life is, waking up to the spiritual life, as Kadagiri says, you're the point of the spirit, to realize this point of the spiritual life, this deep reality of what human life is, because we have these wonderful, incredible human minds. Now, if you want to awaken to this, you do have to let these things go, he said. So he says, truth is not an idea. Did I read that whole quote straight to? Let me just read it. Truth is not an idea. We must see it directly. If we see truth according to some idea, then it is not truth. All discussion and thought is secondary. It occurs only after the true moment has melted away. So truth is not an idea, so you don't measure it by your own yardstick. Truth is not an idea. Okay. We must see it directly. If we see truth according to some idea, some belief, some concept, some sense we have of self here, if we see the truth according to that, he says, well then it's not truth. It's not truth with a capital T. It's theorized truth, it's hypothesis, it's belief, it's conjecture, opinion. It is where we spend a great deal of our time, but it is not seeing. With true seeing, direct seeing, there's nothing to say, and you're not carrying around an idea of it. It's silent. But you can know it. And you don't have to, if you once can wake up to that and know that, you really don't have to drift too far from that for too long. You can more easily now begin to realize just kind of the nonsense that we otherwise embroil ourselves in and discuss endlessly, trying to figure out and trying to compare and trying to explain. None of this is needed. Not for this matter that really settles the deep need of the heart. It's just simply a matter of seeing and learning to see directly. So he says, if we see truth according to our idea, then it is not the truth. So whatever it is that you're holding, whatever ideas you have about this, whatever theories or explanations you have, hypotheses that you want to test out and whatever. In the relative world, some of this stuff might not be so bad, but when it comes to this matter of finally waking up, this just simply isn't going to do it. Because whatever it is that you grasp there, as Kadagiri says here, it is simply not the truth. This is why whatever it is that you've measured with your own yardstick, well, it's fine. You got something nice. Maybe momentarily it's making you feel pretty good. Maybe. It might turn on you, though. Watch out. But right now it's kind of maybe making you... But in the end, it's not the truth. It's not reality. It will turn. It will change. It will fall apart. It will leave you... the big question mark. Once again, it will reflect this hollow ache in the heart. That something so basic and deeply needed by the human heart and mind is not being realized. So this is important that we begin to understand this. And you have to reflect on yourself. You can't just keep looking out there at other people or what they're thinking or believing or grasping. Or even what I'm saying here now. Because in the end, you can let all of this go. But you have to reflect on yourself. And when I say that, I don't mean to sit there now thinking about yourself. Or judging yourself. Or talking to yourself about yourself. For good or bad. I mean to silently look at what is taking place. Without a judgmental mind. A discerning mind, yes, so you can see what's happening there, but not with judgment. That judgment is an extra layer that we simply do not need. And the judgment is coming with putting value on things. Well, this is good, or that's not so good. Or I'm good, or I'm not so good. But we do have to realize what it is that we're doing here. This is why I always tell you, watch your mind. But when I say watch your mind, I mean just watch your mind. I don't mean talk about your mind. I don't mean to evaluate it or calculate it, you know, or deliberate or whatever. Just notice what's going on. That's all. Silently. Like in our meditation is one of these three things. You know, that if you want to take up meditation, three things to just never lose sight of. The practice with regularity on a regular basis. You take this up and you do this. Carrying out this practice with other people is very helpful for you. This is very good. I got these directly from Katagiri Roshi. And this third matter here is this matter of judgment. You set this aside. You set that down. Because to the extent that you are in a judging mode, whether you're judging yourself or others or the situation or whatever it is, you're not in meditation. You are thinking. You're evaluating. You're measuring things by your own yardstick. You cannot have a judgmental mind and be here, be present, and be awake. And the practice of meditation that Dogen speaks of, like in the Fukan Zazenge, where he says the Zazen I speak of is not learning meditation. It is the Dharma gate of repose and bliss, the practice realization of totally culminated enlightenment. Traps and snares can never reach it. Why not? Well, it's because you're not hooked onto anything here. No judgment. Not holding to something. Not weighing things out. Because the things that you'll end up weighing out, these are just made up things. These are just conceptualized things. They change and permutate and drop away and evolve and whatever, right before your very eyes, and they seem to come and go, all of that. It's not reality, it's not truth. So we don't need to spend any of our time with that. Not if our concern is about this matter of waking up. You can set all of that aside, all of it. It might be difficult, but you find yourself, but reflect on what you're doing. When you see that you're getting caught up again, just see if you can now just let that go for the time being. Gradually, your mind might quiet long enough so that you can actually finally see what's really going on here. And then you'll be able to do this. Then you will get beyond this learning meditation that Dogen speaks of. So you can understand the Zazen that he is speaking of is not this learning meditation. He's talking about the Dharma gate of repose and bliss, the practice realization of totally culminated enlightenment. Okay, so Roshi says here, Katagiri says that if we see truth according to some idea, then it is not the truth. Okay, and then he says that all discussion then, so if we're going to discuss these things that you've measured, you've got them weighed out here, there they are, they're formed, here I am, separate, I'm looking at that, I'm talking to you about these things here, all of that kind of stuff. We can just, you know, just set that aside. All of this discussion, whatever we're going to say about these things here, these matters. He said, this is all secondary. Because with all of that, we can't get the truth. And you can't, and the same thing applies even to what I'm saying right now. It might be helpful for you to listen to this. And then let it go. As Suzuki Roshi says, when my talk is over, your listening is over, there's no need to remember what was said. But from time to time, bring yourself back to this. Here's some more. And little by little, Katagiri also talked about, we just let this kind of soak in through our pores. Eventually, we can begin to realize what this way is, what this practice is. And it is not, if we're truly doing this, the Zazen that Dogen is speaking of, this is not being done by ego. This, by the way, also happens to be what Shikantaza is. Sometimes people will say, well, my practice is Shikantaza, but you can't say that. Nobody's practice is Shikantaza. Shikantaza, this Zazen that Dogen is speaking of, isn't done by some ego, by someone. Is there Shikantaza? Yeah. Have people experienced that and known that and realized? Yes, of course. Yeah. Who? You get hold of this. And then to say, well, my practice is Shikantaza, because this is the ultimate meditation, you know, and that's my practice. This is, that's not understanding. That's just ego once again. So all discussion, all thought is secondary, he says, because this is all occurring, he says, after the true moment has melted away. Whatever we say about, whatever we framed up about what has just occurred here, whatever we can say, has already melted away. You cannot speak the truth. You cannot nail it down. It's already gone. It's this moment. So we can only awaken to it. Strictly speaking, a Dharma talk would be, Dharma talk with a capital D, would be speech that's occurring with someone who actually sees directly what is taking place here. But that kind of talk is not like ordinary talk, because ordinary talk is where you're actually lobbing out ideas that you want people to grasp, or, you know, something like this. You can build it onto our theories and hypotheses about things, or maybe just some basic know-how, be very functional about how to do this. So you learn that's kind of ordinary Dharma, small d Dharma. But a Dharma talk, that kind of talk that Suzuki Roshi was talking about, you don't even have to remember this. You can forget about it after the talk is over. Of course, it's there. You might find it again. It's speaking deeply to this heart and mind that already knows the truth, that it's already yours. So you don't have to think about it. But when the Dharma talk is occurring, well, it is just that. It is not discussion, this secondary kind of stuff. It is just in this moment. And that other stuff, we're trying to speak of the truth, but the truth is, of that moment is already melted away, as Katagiri said. So we don't presume even that Dharma talk, true Dharma speaking, is even the truth itself. This is why you don't have to hang on to it. Well, you couldn't hang on to it anyway. The only things you can hang on to are the things that have been measured and framed out and labeled. But those things are frozen. You know, the Buddha, he spoke of frozen views. These are perverted views, the views that we can grasp, hold to. These are perverted views, the views that we will form our identity of. These are perverted. Perverted in what way? Well, because it's not truth. Some of these views might be functional and useful. Yes, that's fine. Understand that for what it is and use them then if it's helpful. Be careful, though, because sometimes it can be harmful as well. We can't escape that, and then when nobody's talking about that, it's just that this other matter here, this deep need in the heart to wake up, doesn't take place in that. That takes place in reality itself, but we're not going to find that by playing around with those things. It's a matter of just stepping aside here. So we don't need to discuss this. It is all secondary. But the Dharma talk, having this pointed out, this is what Buddhas do, that they point, as the Buddha said, they point to the truth, they point to reality. They can't say what it is, we can't speak the truth, because, again, whatever is spoken of is a frozen thing. You know. So this is a different kind of speech. It's just speech that points, directs your attention to what it is that you need to be paying attention to, but now you pay attention to that. See if you can bring yourself back to that. How can we begin with this? Well, once again, I would say just, you know, watch your mind. And learn how it is that you, in this grasping, the things that you're doing with your mind, and you're always trying to take hold of something and make some sense out of it, some idea. But as Kagari says, that truth is not an idea. Nothing wrong with having ideas. We can't escape that. We have to have. I have ideas. Katagiri had ideas. We all have ideas. Nothing wrong with that. But you have to understand that truth is not an idea. Truth is not frozen. So whatever ends up being discussed and thought, you know, if it's worked in that way, pretty soon these things become frozen things. We're trying to figure out. We'll have discussions here. Pretty soon people are locking on to things. When I see that, I try to break it up a little bit or to draw attention to the fact that you're really not getting hold of anything here. But that's what we do. That's what we do. And it doesn't mean that we shouldn't have discussions. I think they're helpful to a point. But this is not the ordinary sort of thing. And this is not something we arrive at through the intellectual and through the grasp, through the conceptual. course, I also know that I have I think I do have a reputation of being somewhat intellectual. Then either I'm doing a very poor job of getting my teaching across, or you haven't heard what I've said. People think that Nagarjuna is intellectual, so intellectual. Well, Nagarjuna spends a lot of time helping us intellectual people with our theories and ideas, our explanations, the way that the teaching had been treated up until that time. That gets entangled in all kinds of paradoxes and dilemmas and contradictions and things. And Nagarjuna, he points that out. But he himself, what is his intellectual grasp of things? He doesn't have any. So you can't say Nagarjuna is intellectual. If you think Nagarjuna is intellectual, then you don't understand what Nagarjuna is doing. You have to realize to the degree that you are intellectual. Even if you're one who thinks, well, I'm not an intellectual. Whether you identify with being an intellectual or not, doesn't matter. You do use the intellect. You do conceptualize. You do grasp ideas. That's the point. Not whether you're known to grasp ideas, or you do this well, or you hang on to that a lot, or do I form an identity out of I'm an intellectual, whatever. That doesn't matter. Unless we're awake, unless we're living out of awakeness, we're living out of the intellect, out of the conceptual. Whether we do that poorly or not doesn't matter. That's what we're relying on. And to the extent that we're doing that, then we are not seeing the truth, realizing it directly, as Katagiri says. Okay, well, maybe I've said everything I was going to say on this point, but do you have any questions? Okay, thank you.
Thank you for listening. To hear more talks on Buddhism, Zen, and related topics, visit dharmafield.org.